Check out past episodes, transcripts, blogs, and more on our website, dojo.nearsoft.com. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Dojo Live this Wednesday, November 15th, 2023. My name is Kim Lantis, and it's my pleasure to be hosting today along with America Guerrero.
Hey, Kim. Hey, Ira. Nice to meet you. This is going to be exciting. You're a book outer, an expert in travel. So let's kick off.
America's fangirling a little bit, I guess. Yes, and today's guest is, as America said, Ira Voke, who is the principal at Hospitality Consulting 2.0. Hospitality 2.0 Consulting. And as America said, Ira, you are a travel expert or hospitality expert. Let's put it that way. And we're really excited to learn from you today, especially as we dive into hospitality tech, the basics of it, and really how to navigate in this complex environment of hospitality technology and ecosystem. There's so much out there. But before we learn about that, we'd like to get to know your story a bit. What's the Ira story, your passion, and what's kind of led up to your consulting company?
Awesome. Very nice to see you guys. Very happy to be here. Excited about this conversation. This is my favorite topic, as many viewers probably know already. So just a quick introduction, those of you who don't know me, which is hard to believe, probably. I'm kidding. So I have a fun story. I'm an immigrant from Belarus. I came to this country 20 years ago, and I recently posted something on LinkedIn, and some of you may have seen it. I went back to my first American hometown where I started 20 years ago. I started in housekeeping, cleaning hotel rooms at a local hotel, and I also worked at a truck stop cleaning showers and toilets. And this is how it all started for me 20 years ago, and this just proves that, you know, it's everything is possible in life if you have a goal and if you have a passion. My passion right now, it's technology, hospitality technology. So I got into hospitality industry 20 years ago, and I just continued to grow in this space. And it's a very fun industry. It's very diverse. It embraces everyone, literally, without education, different shapes and sizes of different people. So I'm very grateful for what it has given me. How I got into technology is about 12, 13 years ago. I co-founded a tech company, hospitality tech company. It was a revenue management system, the first one in the industry that incorporated machine learning, true AI machine learning. And it was a very successful company. We sold it to a PMS company. And this is where I found my passion for technology. I worked for other tech companies in the industry. And the last 8 or 9 years, I've been doing a lot of consulting. And this is how my consulting company was born. I do work with both hotel companies, hospitality companies, and tech vendors. So I consult both. I consult hotel companies on technology adoption and picking the best tech stack, picking vendors or explaining them how to use technology. And also at the same time, I work with tech vendors to explain to them how to sell to the technology, to hotel companies, how to speak their language. So I kind of try to bring them together. And that's what I've been doing the last, I would say, 5 years or so, very actively. And I love it. And I've published books on the topic. I released an online learning course. I teach at San Diego State. So last few years, I've been very active in this specific field of hospitality tech and trying to generate more content, educational content on the subject to bring this knowledge, to make it more widely widespread among hospitality professionals, because it's our industry, as you know, is somewhat conservative, and there is probably not. I mean, the technology adoption rates are definitely improving, but we still have a long ways to go there. So I'm trying to help, do my best on my side.
I love it. That's perfect. You know, backstage prior to going live, we were joking around telling your story and how you were cleaning at truck stops and how, you know, a truck stop is probably one of the least places to have innovation when you went back to home to your hometown. You didn't see much change there. Nope. I'm curious as to, you know, we've already dived a bit into Hospitality 2.0 consulting, what it is that you do. And I think that's really great, creating this bridge between the hospitality companies, the hotels, as well as the tech companies that are trying to help these hotels. But with your story, what has this been in that jump from, you know, being hands-on to tech, and how has this helped you being able to identify, you know, the real world, real user problems and the spots where tech is actually able to help innovate and make the industry better?
That's a great question, actually. And that's what helps me be a better consultant, I guess, a better educator, better technologist also, because I've built product from scratch with my own hands, not hands, brain. So, and it's because I understand the end user, I understand their needs. I've tried almost every possible role on the property level, from housekeeping to front desk to management to sales to marketing to valet, night audit, graveyard shift. So all of those things I've done myself, like I practiced all of them, all of those on the property level. So that's why I understand the end user of technology. And we have so many wonderful vendors in our industry who sell tech products to hospitality companies. Majority of them don't come from the industry. They don't have hospitality background. And that's why I help them understand the end user, understand who, what the type, there are at least 17 types of end users in our industry. They don't really understand that when they get in. So I help them with that because I have this experience, firsthand experience, and I also have worked with, as a vendor, I've worked with different, all different kinds of hotels. I went through all those pains that all these vendors are going through right now because I had my own company. So I also have this angle of experience being a vendor, having this integration dependency with the property management systems, which maybe we'll have time to talk about this today also. And then from the angle of an educator, an angle of an employee of a tech company, an angle of a consultant now. So I have these different views on the subject that allows me to be, I think, somewhat objective, I think, in assessing this environment and describing this complex world. But I think the most valuable part of this experience, as you rightly noted, was being this the in the shoes of the end user of these technology solutions and understanding what these people actually need and how technology can help them, because I've gone through all that myself.
What kind of technology are we talking about? PMS? Are we talking about channel managers? Are we talking about some helping hotels with pains like task management, concierge, housekeeping?
And America's throwing it all out there. I think those are great terms, and Ira's probably like all of the above. Yes. Can we take it back just a step and talk about that word ecosystem?
Can we
build that out to get a better understanding of all these other pieces? And I really like the word you chose today, which is navigate. It puts immediately in my mind
a compass,
ship and a compass, and kind of finding your way. So what does this ecosystem look like? And then what are those specific pieces, like America mentioned, you mentioned earlier, PMS, RMS?
Yeah, great questions. So yes, so both of your questions are, of course, connected. So it is an ecosystem. And maybe you have seen, I posted recently a diagram on LinkedIn that it just went viral. I also published an article on HospitalityNet about it, and there's thousands of views and reposts and comments. So industry seems to have embraced it. So the diagram displays it illustrates this ecosystem and you can find it on my LinkedIn page if you're interested. It shows the different how these technology solutions are organized in different categories with the operations in the center, but there is also a distribution, marketing, BI, and guest applications. So there are five large categories that exist, and those are in the diagram. They're color-coded, so it's kind of very clean and easy way to picture our ecosystem that is very convoluted. Like it's so convoluted, like it hurts. So I had to, and I saw it in my dream, actually, the diagram. I was taking a nap in Colorado and I just saw it and I went and I just put it on a napkin. And within a few hours, I put it in Lucid charts on my computer. So this is how it was born, like literally a month ago. But it was just tremendously embraced by the industry because everybody like needs somebody to provide simplicity to help people understand what this mess is all about. So yes, did you have a question?
No, I didn't know that you were the creator of that diagram because I have it in WhatsApp. I have it in LinkedIn. Okay. I also got that diagram via email. So it's like, oh, okay, you are the mastermind behind it.
Yes, like I said, I saw it in my dream. So there are five large categories that I just mentioned, and really it's just the tip of the iceberg, because the diagram, the main goal of this diagram that I'm talking about is to help people organize these different solutions in their heads and put them on the right shelves. But as we start digging deeper in each category, there are subcategories, and then we do deeper, there are more things that we reveal, and then each subcategory is represented by tens or even hundreds of vendors. So there are thousands of technology solutions in our industry. And if you go to a high-tech show, you know, they have hundreds and hundreds of different vendors. You walk around and your mind, your brain starts coming out of your ears because it's so convoluted. You don't understand even what, you know, who's doing what, because there's just so many. So again, the diagram kind of helps organize it on a high level. And in the center of it all is, as you rightly noted, the PMS, the property management system. If we're talking about lodging companies, about hotels, vacation rentals, businesses, and other lodging solutions. So the center is the property management system. And let me know if this is a good time to start talking about the integration dependency, which is the main reason why this ecosystem is convoluted and complex. So the in the center of attention, the reason why the PMS is at the center is because it has access to the valuable data, the reservation data, reservation stay and ARI data. And this is where this data is stored for the most part in most cases. And the reality is that majority of these solutions that exist outside of the PMS, and there are hundreds, there are a lot. And again, they're organized in five different categories, but there are a lot of them. Majority of them can't function independently. And that's why they have an integration dependency on the PMS, because they need data. Like as a co-founder of an RMS company, we built a wonderful solution without any integration with the PMS. You can't function. Like you're not able to, you just spent $2 million on building it. You can't sell it because it's not functioning without a PMS. So now you have to build these integrations. So this integration dependency exists in our industry that makes the PMS kind of the queen, the center of attention. The industry is trying to kind of get around it somewhat. Some companies are succeeding, but in majority of cases, that's still the situation. So, and because the PMS companies, they don't want to invest in, and maybe they shouldn't, invest in heavy functionality in something that is not core PMS functionality. That's why a PMS is no longer enough for a hospitality business, for a hotel business to operate, to be successful, right? And that's why all these little solutions, little, some bigger, pop up that complement the PMS functionality with other things that help these businesses be more successful. And that's why we see myriad of these different things that exist in these other categories, distribution being the most important one after operations, of course. You have to have a PMS to operate a property, even though there are still many hotels in the world that don't have a PMS that still use pen and paper, but hopefully, you know, there will be less and less. So after the PMS, after operations, distribution is the second most important element or category of our ecosystem, because you have to be able to sell your rooms online. I mean, you can't rely on people walking in anymore or calling you, right? As it used to be very simple, you would have one channel of distribution, either your phone or, you know, you would have some walk-ins. Things have changed, of course, and now we are selling on hundreds of different OTAs. We're selling on Instagram, we're selling on Google, we're selling on our own website. So distribution category is the most complex part of our ecosystem, because the relationships between different parts of these elements in this ecosystem, in this category, they are very complex. So if you were starting to draw the lines in, you know, how the data flows back and forth, like, you would need a magnifying glass to figure out what is what. So distribution is important. And without going too deep into the differentiation between independents and chain properties, the CRS kind of sits in the center of that category. But again, for chain properties, that's the CRS. Independents wouldn't have that. So each category, again, if you find my diagram, each category has kind of like a main representative, I would say. So the CRS would be the representative of the distribution category, but again, for chain properties. And then we have the marketing and sales category, with CRM being kind of the center of attention there. I would say that the heaviest solution, although I have to note here, with that being the most prominent representative of the category, still very few hotels in the world actually have one, which is a problem that we have in our industry kind of across the board. Technology adoption rates are not, as you know, where we want them to be, even though we're going in the right direction. So then the fourth category is the revenue management and BI solutions, with RMS being kind of the center of attention there. And with that said, again, only about 30% of hotels in the world use an RMS. But in my opinion, and I come kind of also from a revenue management background, I have a deep expertise in that area. And this is where I started, kind of past the hotel level, the property level, my professional growth. So RMS is the most intelligent part of our ecosystem, the most brainy part. It has the largest brain. It's the most complex, not the most popular, because it's not really a must have, even though in my opinion it's a must have. But again, only 30% of hotels have it. And then we have the kind of guest facing guest apps category, with the most prominent representative there is like different types of guest apps that hotels have. Again, not all of them do, but these are the things where you would communicate with the customer. You would allow them to check in online or to access their room, to request towels and whatnot. So that's kind of the high level, very high level overview of these five categories, with again the PMS sitting in the center and most other solutions having this dependency on the property management system, because they just can't function independently.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting. Yeah, my question is, for those hospitality companies listening in today, or those tech companies who are, you know, building this out, what would your suggestions be in maybe where to start? And I know this, let me rephrase that, because I imagine that this is going to vary, right, on from a company to company, hotel to hotel circumstance. What are the questions they should be asking in order to best identify where to get started and where to make the most impact for their business?
You're asking about hotel companies, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So this is where it becomes a little bit tricky. For smaller companies, let's say it's an individual hotel, or maybe it's, you know, a couple hotels, not a very large hotel company. For those, I would say, I don't know if I'm allowed, but I will. Hotel Tech Report is a really good source. It has like Yelp for hotel tech solutions, right? So you go there and you find, you know, look at the reviews, look at the functionality, then you schedule demos with the vendors that you like, that you selected. If the demos show that these providers have the functionality that you are looking for, then go with it. The trick here is the larger the company, the more complex it's going to be, because first of all, one thing that a lot of people don't understand is, and especially vendors don't really understand that until they start kind of dipping their toes in our environment. Our industry is very diverse from the standpoint of the type of business that we're dealing with. For example, we have at least three different categories of hotels. We have independent hotels, we have large chains, and we have mid-market. So at least three different very distinct type of customers. Within those, there is also differentiation by the size of the property, the number of properties within the company, chain scale, like how luxury they are. So it results in multiple different types of businesses in the hospitality, in the lodging sector of our economy. So different vendors that we see on the map, on Hotel Tech Report or advertising or at high tech, they actually target, maybe without even realizing it in many cases, they target different segments of our industry. So the functionality that they have may be good for independent operators, may not be good for a chain operator, or the other way around, or maybe good for a luxury hotel, but maybe too much for a small operator, you know, mom and pop type of business with 50 rooms. So it's very important for a hotel business when selecting a technology solution to clearly understand what I call, as a former product manager or maybe existing product manager, person who builds technology, we call it use cases. So understand how you will be using this technology. For example, you're looking for a PMS system. List all the things that you need it for. I'm going to check people in. I'm going to look at how much, you know, they owe us. I'm going to do this. But I also need an integration with a channel management provider. And I also need it to have functionality for me to communicate with my housekeepers, for example. So list all the things that you need to for your business to be successful. How you do things right now and maybe things that you want to improve. Because chances are, and it's in 99% of the cases, you will see different types of functionalities provided by different vendors. So you need to understand which one matches what you actually need. So there is a lot of due diligence that should go in the process of finding a vendor, so you avoid surprises once you sign the contract and you are in it. After a month, you realize that, oh, there is this thing that is missing that actually prevents you from selling your rooms on a channel that you really depend on, for example. So this due diligence needs to happen before you sign the contract. This is what I help my customers when I work with hotel companies. I do that a lot with mid-market and independent operators. We go through an RFP process together, and sometimes there are 70 or even 100 use cases, especially if a company is large and they have 100 to 300 properties in their portfolio. There are little things like, I want to be able to share reports with different departments easily through the system. And because that's what we do, this is how we function, we have to have it. So you list all those things and then you go and look for providers that match closely what you need. Then you do demos with them. Then you go through this whole process until you sign the contract. So the larger the company, the more complex it becomes.
With this ecosystem, I know that the rules of pricing are kind of difficult to understand. I read this Skift article that says that there is a huge OTA versus another huge OTA, that one is saying like, oh, this is not fair. Why you are posting this public information when I'm doing this? So how do you understand this ecosystem in terms of rates and also identifying which is the tool that would help you to understand it?
Yeah, if we're talking about prices for hotel rooms, like the prices that consumers see, so that's part of the distribution ecosystem, definitely. And that's the part that is the most convoluted part, of course. So the parity wars have been happening for a long time, many years in our industry, where OTAs, there is a clear conflict of interest between OTAs and hotels. And I think this is where, I don't think, I know, this is where it all starts. Hotels and online travel agencies, they have been in conflict since OTAs were born, because OTAs make their money off of hotels without actually owning assets. So it's like, you know, double-sided marketplace. And they, it's in their interest to sometimes violate the parity policy, drop the rate a little bit, but draw more demand to their channel, drawing demand away from the hotel's direct channel, making money off of the hotel, thus actually negatively affecting the profit that the hotel actually makes. And that happens across the board all day long. The way to solve for it, and it's slightly deviates from the original discussion, which is the hotel tech ecosystem. It's part of it, but it's like a whole topic on its own, because, you know, there should be probably an episode on just, you know, the rate parity violations and relationships between OTAs and lodging businesses. But the way to solve it is some governments are actually handling it on the government level, like on the regulation, official regulation level. Like, it's that serious. There's like so much trouble. So it's not something that can be easily, you know, resolved within, you know, within a day by addressing some minor issue. It's actually a pretty big problem, especially in, you know, in European markets and Asian markets. OTAs undercut hotels a lot. And it all has to do with the agreements that OTAs have with hotels, and hotels are, unfortunately, in many cases, people who sign those agreements, the owners of these properties, are unfortunately not always educated on these things. And it's also a big problem in our industry, which results in many other issues, including low technology adoption. But owners need to be educated on those things. Like, do not sign an agreement that goes against your profit margins, for example, that puts OTA in a, you know, an advantageous position. But it happens. It happens a lot, unfortunately.
For sure. You know, we've got just a final few minutes before we have to wrap up today's show. I wanted to throw it back a bit to what you mentioned way at the beginning. And that's, I believe your first tech product you said was an RMS, right? And the first one to integrate machine learning. About 10 years ago, you said?
12, I think it was 2011. Okay. Yeah.
So with that in mind, in words, you know, like machine learning, we've got generative AI coming up. Where do you see hospitality tech headed in terms, you know, of this type of technology? What's the future in these, you know, five different categories? What might they all kind of be having in common and maybe look out for and be prepared for? What's coming?
Definitely. Yeah, it's a great question. And I do speak about trends a lot. Of course, AI, we're already seeing a lot of AI applications in our industry. Though there is a lot of potential, of course, because as we mentioned in the beginning, our industry is somewhat conservative. Like, we have AI, like, you know, face recognition on our phone, or, you know, the way that Netflix recommends movies for us. It's all based on AI. Like, it's everywhere in our lives. In our industry, though, it's not there yet, but we're definitely on the right track from the standpoint of adoption of different, or implementation of AI algorithms, both in customer facing and back office kind of functions. It's already there. We don't necessarily see it often. Like,
this is Dojo Live. Tech Without Borders, stories that bring us together.